الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. The saying of Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is quoted on page number 10 of Blessing of Salat and Salam, published by Maktabatul Madina. There will be no shade on the Day of Judgment except for the throne of Allah Almighty. Three persons will remain beneath the shade of the Divine Throne. It was humbly asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who will be those people? He replied, Number 1, the one who relieves the distress of my ummati. Number 2, the one who revives my sunnah. Number 3, the one who recites salat upon me abundantly. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Tonight is the 19th night of Mahe Fakhir, the month of Shaykh Abdul Qadir, Rabi'ul Akhir, 1437 Hijri. Devotees of Awliya from Mehrvi Kabinat have gathered in large number in the Global Madani Markaz, Faizan-e-Madina, Babul-Madina, for 3 days to attain Tarbiyah.
There are Hanbali Kabinat and Mehrvi Kabinat, two Kabinat altogether.
They're also spiritually linked to Ghaus-e-Pak in a way. Hanbali. Did you get what I said? Who understood what I meant? The majority hasn't understood. Ghaus-e-Pak was Hanbali. You still haven't understood? Did you get it now? They're truthful people. They don't raise hands if they don't understand. MashaAllah. Well, now they will have to undertake the 63 days Tarbiyati course. Only then they'll understand. So, who are we? Hanafi. You do understand at least this? Who understands the fact that we are Hanafi? There are some who are not even raising hands on this. They perhaps would be Shafi'i. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Please ask questions. I might not be able to reply every single question, and that too correctly. If possible, I will try to answer it. Correct me straight away if you find me making mistake. You will not find me beating around the bush or sticking to my opinion unnecessarily. Rather, you will find me thankful to you whilst rectifying myself. InshaAllah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. We shall make good intentions. We won't get any reward unless we make good intentions. If not even a single good intention was made, then there will be no reward. For example, I will attend for as long as the Madani Muzakara is going on and acquire the knowledge of Deen. Or will attend the Madani Muzakara for 1 hour. So make intentions according to your own states. So when we are to learn the knowledge of Deen, then we'll have to avoid all the obstacles. We need to keep the mobile phone switched off. Otherwise it'll keep disturbing you and won't let you learn. Keep it switched off and do not check either that who's miscalled me or who sent me a message, etc. Nothing at all. Forget it for a little while. Some brothers make film from their camera. Don't do so either. Otherwise such person won't understand anything that what's being said. You've spent so much and come from so far away. So now learn something. And stay here the whole time, all 3 days. There'll be study circles during the daytime as well. Don't go out to see the city around or to the seashore. Nowhere at all. You'll gain blessings by staying here. You will, insha'Allah, learn immense amount of knowledge by staying here. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
My name is Irshad Ulabat and I'm talking from District Hafsabad, Punjab. My question to Amir al-Sunnat is that it's commonly known that the dua of non-salah offering person is not accepted at all. Kindly bless us with some madani pearls in this regard.
It's not such that any dua of a non-salah offering person is not accepted. A non-salah offering person's dua can also be accepted. In fact, like if a disbeliever is oppressed, then his curse is also accepted. If an animal is oppressed, then its curse is also accepted. Dua of a non-salah offering person is not accepted at all. I can't remember reading anything of such anywhere. Wallahu ta'ala a'lamu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Azza wa jalla wa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
My name is Sayyid Musharraf Attari from Arab Sharif, Ziyai Kabina. My question in the court of Amiri al-Sunnat is that our beloved Imam-e-Azam Abu Hanifa Noman bin Sabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his kunya is Abu Hanifa. What is the reason behind his kunya Abu Hanifa? Some people say that he had a daughter who was called Hanifa and due to this reason he was called Abu Hanifa. Please guide us on the fact whether this is the reason for him having the kunya of Abu Hanifa or not.
Yes, this is also one reason I have come across, that Hanifa was his daughter's name. But some other historians have also denied this fact. Hanifa means ink pot, a pot that contains ink in it to write. Because he, alayhi rahma, was more passionate about ilm, and when he used to teach, the number of students using the ink pot was more. Back then, people would write by dipping their pens in the ink pot. They didn't have various types of ball pens or pens like we do nowadays. They would trim down a piece of wood and shape it into a pen, and would write by dipping it into the ink pot. So, there used to be plenty of ink pots and pens. Hence, for this reason also, he was called Abu Hanifa. Wallahu ta'ala a'lamu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Azza wa jalla wa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
My name is Saqib Habib and I'm calling from Faisalabad. The question I would like to ask you is that I have adopted the daughter of my sister. Shall we keep the name of her father as it is, or shall I keep it as mine? Kindly reply to this question for me.
Well, the father will be the actual father whose daughter she is. You cannot give your name as the father of the child whom you have adopted. This is not permissible for you to do so. Neither can you tell anyone that this is my child, and nor can you tell the child that I'm your father. It's definitely difficult to do so, as it will hurt the child's feelings, etc. But anyhow, a hadith strongly prohibit this and its admonitions have been mentioned. Even on the wedding cards, father's name is put down as the one who adopted them, perhaps not of the real father. So whoever does so becomes sinful and deserving of the hellfire, as it is a lie. To the extent that even if the real father has passed away, then the child will still deserve his share of inheritance from him, even if someone else has brought up that child. He'll get the inheritance. So he'll have to tell the child about his real father. Names of the real parents should be told to the child when he becomes sensible. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
My question in the court of Amiri al-Sunnat is, what is wastage? What's its definition? And where does wastage take place? And what are its harms?
Wastage. There are certain rulings regarding wastage. Some wastages are haram and some wastages are makruhe tanzihi, meaning they are disliked. So we shall avoid wastage. sinful wastage is strongly prohibited, as it's a sin, it's haram. For example, you drink water and throw the leftover. People do so without any apparent need. It's their habit. This is haram, as water is being wasted. Likewise, for ablution, tap is opened first and then people roll their sleeves up. The tap water is being wasted. This wastage is haram. They perform masah whilst keeping the tap on and water is constantly flowing from the tap. Now the water is being wasted. Not even a single drop should be wasted without a need. Similarly, it's very common that the leftover food is thrown away. People throw the leftover rotis in dustbins without any need. They've eaten what they wanted to and whatever's left over, they just throw it away. They take a bite and throw it away. This is what they do. But if someone drank some water and did not finish all of it and left the leftover in the glass or a bowl, he didn't throw it away, then this will not be a sin. Whoever throws it will be the responsible for it, so it shouldn't be thrown away. How much food is dropped? Whilst eating, then they throw it. They throw it in the dustbin. Whereas every single grain shall be picked up and eaten. As there is a glad tiding of forgiveness for the one who eats a dropped morsel from the dining mat, his children will be born without faults and being beautiful. So it has numerous virtues. So not even a half a grain should drop. If a bone has herbs and spices on it, that shall also be consumed properly. There are different types of herbs and spices used in the food. So the bones shall be cleaned properly and then thrown away. One in millions would be acting upon this practice. Rest drop food. People drop food more when they mainly eat collectively. As if we'll stay behind, we'll remain hungry and our brother will eat everything. If he has the power, he'll snatch the food and eat, but he hasn't got the power to do so. So eating in haste, he eats as well as drops food. Then a slight, sensible person who picks up food and eats it, does so with his left hand. So another sunnah is missed by eating with the left hand. So even if you pick it up with the left hand, place it in the right hand and then eat it. So when there is financial loss in wastage, then it would be haram, as wasting wealth is haram. People don't finish their tea, they don't finish the cold drink and leave some leftover. So the leftover in the bottle will not be considered to be a sin. It will only be when it is thrown away. Sin will only be recorded if it's been thrown away. Really? The amount of meat wasted on Eid al-Adha is not wasted in the whole year. People waste it so much. They waste it a lot in the marriage ceremonies as well. They pick up a piece of meat, take a bite and throw it away. Took a bite of this and threw it away. They eat some, drop some, leave the rest, throw it away and leave. When people attend someone's functions or marriages, it's very difficult for them to leave without sinning. It would perhaps be a waliullah or a righteous person who would leave sin-free. So many sins are committed there, especially the sin of throwing food away. Greed of food is another aspect. They eat in an uncivilized manner and swallow without chewing it properly. Hence, ruining their digestive system is quite common. So wherever we go, whether it is a function or a marriage ceremony, we shall eat in a civilized manner according to sunnah. We shall eat avoiding wastage. We shall not waste.
The definition of wastage that I recall is to spend in impermissible things.
Yes, indeed. Spending on impermissible things. You're right. Then there are different rulings for it to be haram if one spends in impermissible things.
Ala Hazrat perhaps has retained this definition.
Spending on impermissible things is wastage. Wallahu ta'ala a'lamu wa rasuluhu a'lam azza wa jalla wa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
There is a buzurg called Ibn Abi Dunya. A question posed is that a buzurg deviate away from this world. Then why his name is Ibn Abi Dunya?
You know, his full name is Imam Abdullah bin Muhammad Abu Bakr bin Abi Dunya. I.e. his name is Abdullah. His father's name is Muhammad. His grandfather's name is Abu Bakr. And great-grandfather's name is Abi Dunya. So the fourth great-grandfather in the lineage was called Abi Dunya. Well, now we all are present in this dunya. He is a very old noble personality.
Most of his narrations are based on deviating away from this world. They are regarding the grave and the hereafter. His narrations normally have been revolving around piety, righteousness, abstinence and asceticism.
So is this dunya bad in every way? Where are you talking from right now? From paradise, are you? Where from?
From this dunya.
So you're of this dunya, isn't it? So abhi dunya means from this dunya. So as in, what's wrong in it? You will come across various such people who will have the name Alam. Moreover, they also add other names along with Alam. So this dunya is not condemned from every way. Only that dunya is condemned that harms your hereafter. Otherwise, serving your parents is not the condemned dunya. Rather, serving your parents in this dunya is a privilege for the hereafter. Pious upbringing of your children is not condemned dunya either.
وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَعْلَمُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَصَلَّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ صلو على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد.
The book Batni Bimariyon Ki Ma'lumat of Maktabatul Madina contains the matter regarding love of this dunya, definition of dunya, which dunya is good and which is bad. All this has been alhamdulillah explained in this book. You can search it from Maktabatul Madina. Every Islamic brother should have this book, Batni Bimariyon Ki Ma'lumat.
Invitation towards righteousness also has the matter regarding this dunya, etc. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
The question is that how can a mother bring her child towards the madani environment, i.e. engaging him in righteous activities?
Mother should become pious herself. She should be kind and avoid scolding on everything. She should love the child the way it's meant to be. He won't come in madani environment if you beat him and scold him all the time. The mother will get upset if her child doesn't offer salah or commits other indecencies. But if she keeps scolding him all the time, then the passion of the son would have already been lost. How would he come in the madani environment? She should explain him the blessings of the madani environment. She should reward him, such as, DSN, attend the sunnah inspiring ijtima on Thursday and I will cook your favorite dish on Friday for you. Such strategy shall be implemented. The father shall adopt similar strategy as well. Then it is possible that the son gets inclined towards it and joins the madani environment. Offer him a reward upon traveling in a madani kafila. And when he does travel in the madani kafila, also try to find out whether he did travel or not. In case he goes somewhere else wandering around for 3 days and says that he traveled in the madani kafila. So information shall be sought from such Islamic brothers who can at least assure whether he travelled in the madani kafila or not. For example, he can make arrangements by coming to the madani tarbiyatgah by saying to them that look after him, etc. So this can also be possible in this way. So inshallah, if we try in this way, then it is possible that inshallah your son joins the madani environment. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد.
Please mention something in relation to opening and shutting the masjid 10 minutes before and after its time.
First of all, it's forbidden to shut a masjid. However, for the sake of protection and safeguarding it from theft and risk that the animals will make it dirty, if there's any such need, then you can keep it shut except the salah times. There's no restriction of 10 minutes. Open and shut it as per it is required. This can happen. Wallahu ta'ala a'lamu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Azza wa jalla wa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
There is a question in your code that at which place did the Ark of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam stop at?
Brothers from Mervi Kabina will reply to this question. This is a simple one. Normal public.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Muhammad Mujtaba Attari.
Are you a university student?
Yes, I am a university student. On Mount Judy.
The answer is correct.
He will inshallah be given the book Minhajul Abidin, published by Maktabatul Madina.
Inshallah. He also has the permission of telling that by when he would finish the entire book.
He will read it in 63 days.
Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. 63 days are a bit much. The book is quite small. But never mind. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Beloved Amir al-Sunnat, which companions are referred to as Shaykhain?
Hazrat Sayyiduna Abu Bakr, Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and Sayyiduna Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Saying of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, one who recites La ilaha illallah al-halim al-kareem, Subhanallahi rabbis samawati al-sab'i wa rabbil arshi al-azim, 3 times, then it's as if he has attained Shabiq Qadr. Let's recite it together.
La ilaha illallah الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد.